The Bob Siegel Show is brought to you in part by Web Studio, Primetime Advertising Corporation, and the Law Office of Thomas Pinkerton. The views and opinions are solely those of the host and guests and do not necessarily represent KCBQ or its sponsors. It's time now for the Bob Siegel Show, a religious open forum where all questions are welcome. And now, here's your host, Christian apologist, Bob Siegel.
And this is Bob Siegel. So, you'd like to believe in God, but isn't religion dangerous? Any religion? Lately, we hear all the time about militant Islam, but honestly, is Christianity any better, you're wondering? Aren't Christians seeking to gain political power here in America and force their views upon others? I can appreciate your concern, and yes, there was a time in history when Christians did exactly that. But today, I have to tell you, with all due respect, if you have such a fear, you also have the wrong century. You also have the wrong country. Evangelical Christianity has no such agenda. Let me say that again. Evangelical Christianity has no such agenda. Of course, there's always some nutcase that'll say something stupid, but evangelical Christianity in general has no such agenda. They do believe in religious freedom, however, and they feel that their freedom, as a matter of fact, is being suppressed. Well, both concerns, those of the atheists and those of Christians, weave themselves in and out of the latest storm of controversy here in San Diego, one I found myself caught up in the middle of when the San Diego Union interviewed me about an atheist billboard. Now, I did already discuss this a few weeks ago on our radio show. I haven't forgotten. I don't have dementia. I know we're talking about it again, but there's a reason for that. Much, very much has happened. Oh, the subject this has morphed into, you wouldn't even believe it. So we are going to spend a good portion of our program dealing with this provocative subject. So hold on. I have some very interesting email comments and posted blog comments from atheists to share with you in just a few minutes. Welcome to our sanctuary, a sanctuary for skeptics and doubters, where people can express themselves and feel free to disagree with the radio host. We're not going to club you on the head with Christianity here. We're going to talk about it, but we're not going to club you on the head. Christianity is our theme, Christianity and its relationship to politics and pop culture. Actually, I had a little personal bit of pop culture recently. This week, I turned 56. And no, I am not bragging about my birthday. On the contrary, I would be just delighted to stop having birthdays. I guess I will stop having them when I die. That's not the way I want to stop having them. What I meant is, if time could be frozen, how cool would that be? Remember when you were little? Your birthday was exciting for all kinds of reasons. The presents, of course, along with the cake and the ice cream and the parties and the soda pop and some of your parents hired clowns and you had a little pony ride and it was all so cute. But it wasn't just that. You were also thrilled, and I mean literally ecstatic, to be a year older. Well, try introducing a six-year-old as six and watch them correct you and say, six and a half! I'm really six and a half! Okay, flash forward. When that same person turns 21, but somehow they still get carded at a bar, they find it insulting. Would they believe some of us if we told them that when they turn a little older, they will love being carded? Alas, when we are young, we want to be old, and we want to look old. Then what happens when we do get older? We want to be young again, or at least hear people telling us we look young, nutty human beings that we are, unable to ever be satisfied. Well, this year, my kids were particularly kind to me. My kids that are now grown adults telling me that I still look young with my full head of dark hair. Well, it's mostly dark, but hey, I'll take whatever bone they throw me. When I was 30, everybody told me I looked 20. When I was 40, everybody told me I looked 30. When I turned 50, everyone told me I looked 40. Yeah, someday I'll be 100 and everybody will tell me I look 90. So big deal. I have a sneaking suspicion the difference will be negligible. Birthdays, you gotta love them, but it is a time to remember the hope of the resurrection where we will look as we looked at our best, even better, and for all of eternity. No, God does not support vanity, but God does offer hope. Moving on to the latest buzz. Hey, kids, who said golf wasn't an exciting sport? Certainly not tabloid news. Oops, I meant to say mainstream media. Well, actually, this is all over the new media as well. Fox, talk radio, etc. Okay, well, I may as well follow the pack and offer my own entry. Here we go. This is what I have to say about Tiger Woods finding himself under a new and different kind of spotlight. You ready? You ready? This is what I have to say about Tiger Woods. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. This is between him and his family. It's none of my business. It's none of your business. And let me break it to the media. Just because the man is a famous, talented golf celebrity, that doesn't automatically make it your business either. You may fall back on the tired cliche, people have a right to know. That's what they always say. The people have a right to know. You know, frankly, it's a lot of hogwash. The people only have a right to know when it's news that affects their lives. I don't mean to say that this isn't important news. I mean to say this should not be considered news, period. Apart from the privacy families deserve, it's not like there aren't one or two more important things going on in our country right now. Matters that are history-making, paths our nation has never traveled down before, and we're going to instead focus on Tiger Woods? Give me a break. Give him a break. Give his family a break. Okay, when we return, I'll start reading your emails, including some choice comments from my atheist friends, and I do like to think of them as friends, even though they may not like the Christmas season quite as much as I do. You know, when I was an atheist myself, and I was an atheist for a good deal of my life, my teens, all the way up through almost in college, but I still loved Christmas time growing up. I was a Jewish atheist, too, and Christmas time did not threaten me. Oh, I thought Christianity was stupid, but if people wanted to be stupid, how was that going to hurt me? I still loved the lights. I still loved the music. No, I didn't understand anything about why some baby in a manger meant we were going to have peace on earth, but I loved the music anyway. Like today, when we hear the beautiful melodies of Celtic Woman, we don't even need to understand what they're singing, which is good, because if they're singing a Christmas carol in Gaelic, I guarantee you won't understand what they're singing. Maybe if you're from Ireland, but many people from Ireland won't understand either. Music is still a universal language, though, and it can always touch our heart.
Fast,
Looking to build your own website without a lot of cost and trouble? Hi, I'm Bob Siegel, here to tell you about Web Studio. Web Studio allows people to create their own websites simply and easily without knowing HTML. With Web Studio, you avoid the learning curve of front page and the expense of a web designer. Web Studio has 14 different galleries that contain graphics, sounds, and everything else you need. For more information about Web Studio, go to webstudio.com.
Call Bob now at 888-344-1170. That's toll free, 888-344-1170. Bob may have strong opinions, but he also likes to hear what you have to say.
The sound. Even more beautiful.
Welcome back to our program. You can reach us by phone, or you can send in an email, question, or comment, questions@bobsiegel.net. That's questions@bobsiegel.net. Ron from up in the Bay Area writes, Bob, had a chance to listen to the last 20 minutes of your program. He's referring to last week's program. As you know, we were weaving in and out of our discussion the question, can one accept Jesus as Savior without making a decision to obey Jesus? And it was in the last 20 or so minutes that I got to that. So that's the part of the program he's referring to. And hopefully if we have time, when we've gone through some of these atheist letters and things, we'll continue that this week. If not, we'll certainly continue it in future weeks. But he says, concerning my statement that if one does not make a decision to obey Jesus, Jesus does not become their Savior. No, you're not saved by works, but you're making a decision to let the Spirit of God come in and change you. And the goal is obedience. It's a free gift, that relationship, but the goal is obedience. Anyway, I'm happy to report that Ron in the Bay Area says that he agrees. He says, I agree and look forward to your follow-up. Interestingly, a few months back, I started doing some in-depth study of lesser works of John Bunyan. I'm on my second reading of The Straight Gate. It's about 50 pages long. In fact, I have a small group study going through it. You may find it interesting if you can get through the Old English, but even that is quite profound in the way he says things. Bunyan has a gift of outlining for the reader what he is going to say, what he is saying, and what he did say, so he repeats the message. Well, thank you for submitting that. I have not read John Bunyan, but that is something I should do. It's a classic and very profound writer indeed. Nils in Spring Valley is responding to my non-commentary about Tiger Woods. He says, Bob, I agree with you in principle. However, would it be news if a politician like Obama or Clinton did the same thing? I think so. So since such action is newsworthy, depending upon circumstances, who is it that makes that judgment? Is your judgment based upon politics? Or do you recommend that such a scandal amongst your flock be hushed up too? Just wondering, I don't know the answer either. Well, I appreciate the humility, Nils, and I do appreciate the question. I believe such a thing in the church would be gossip, to answer your question about parishioners. The scripture says a lot about gossip, and none of it is good. Public officials, another story. Public officials have the public trust and fall into a different category. But even there, let me say this very carefully, even there, my problem with Clinton was in his lying under oath when asked about the affair. I mean, I think it was wrong for him to be having the affair, but I wouldn't have wanted to see him fired just for that. I didn't think that was our business, but he was asked under oath in a courtroom if he had an affair, and he lied. For a president to perjure himself certainly is news. Now, whether or not it was appropriate for some busybody to question him in the first place, that's another matter. Patty in Lakeside writes on this same issue regarding Tiger Woods. She says, Bob, you mirror my thoughts exactly from the first day it was reported. And exactly how many days ago was that? Come on already, get over it. We have so many more important things to worry about. Boy, you said it, Patty. Okay, moving on to the Billboard controversy. Some of you are already up to speed on this, but if you'll permit me to do some review, I want our new listeners to catch the continuity. On Thursday, November 12th, I was interviewed briefly by the San Diego Union-Tribune for the purpose of responding to an atheist-sponsored billboard, but the controversy it generated is taking on a life of its own. Now, here's a brief excerpt from their article. Don't believe in God, the billboard asks, atop a background of blue sky and white clouds. You are not alone. We hope the message will get everyone thinking, said Debbie Allen Scomer, coordinator of the San Diego Coalition of Reason, an umbrella organization for 9 groups of nonbelievers. Some people will have a negative reaction to the sign, and others will be inspired to check us out. And here then is the part of the article where I enter the scene. Bob Siegel, a member of Skyline Church in La Mesa and a self-described Christian apologist, said he doesn't find the billboard offensive. But I do see a double standard from the atheists, he said. They can put up a sign like that, but during Christmas, if a manger goes on public land, they act like their civil liberties are being taken away. Siegel added, it's not unreasonable to believe in God. And it's a myth that people who do so are guided by blind faith. There are many good reasons to believe. Okay, so that's the part of the article I was in. The response ranged from letters to the editor, to Union Tribune website comments, to new articles on atheist blog sites, not just in San Diego, but around the country. I saw 500 comments on one atheist blog alone. That was just one of many blogs. I certainly don't have time to read all of them, let alone respond to all of them, but I did look through a fair sample. Most comments said the same thing one way or the other, seeking to remind us of the difference between a privately sponsored ad and public tax dollars going toward religious symbols. Some accused me of deliberately avoiding the real issue. Others lectured me as if I did not already understand the whole tax argument. This letter from Jim serves as an example. Please tell Mr. Siegel he's missing the point, or more likely intentionally ignoring it, when he compares the San Diego Coalition of Reason billboard to a nativity scene. I have yet to hear of anyone seriously protesting the holiday billboards that remind people that Christmas began as a religious holiday. What some people do find objectionable is the placement of religious images on property supported by public tax money, since the government is not supposed to support any particular religious belief. Now, I withheld his name in that article. And then just 2 days ago, I wrote an op-ed piece for the San Diego Newsroom. That's the article I'm talking about where I withheld his name. I did print him. I printed that letter. And you may recall, some of you, that I already responded to Jim over the air a couple of weeks ago. I quoted him again in the article because it was just such a good sample of the many things I was looking at. So, Jim, if you're listening, let me say again, actually, I'm not missing the point at all. The Establishment Clause merely protects you from mandated religion. Nobody is forcing you to become a Christian by putting up a symbol. In the days of our forefathers, religious symbols were on public property frequently, so we can see rather clearly how they interpreted their own First Amendment. What the Constitution meant to them is what the Constitution means, period. As for tax dollars, I am sympathetic to your position. I really am. But consider this. Our tax dollars go for many things, and none of us are happy about all of the distributions. My tax dollars, for instance, fund public schools and some public universities, where the teachings are incompatible with Christianity at the very least and are hostile to Christianity at the very most. Interesting how this separation between church and state never cuts both ways, isn't it? On the other hand, should a school put up a Christmas decoration or a county build a manger scene, your taxes do not go up but remain the same. Besides, although there are always exceptions, I have seen vast evidence that this goes beyond the issue of taxes in the minds of many atheists. Take a look at the decades-old controversy surrounding Mount Soledad's cross. This was built as a World War II memorial. Everybody knows that. Yes, it includes a cross because in the aftermath of World War II, many people were buried with the cross or had a cross as part of the memorial. As I was reading my article over again this afternoon, I realized I had written all veterans are buried with a cross. Obviously, that's not true. A slip of the tongue, typo. I meant to say many, and we will make that correction in the article. Atheists knew full well regarding this cross of Mount Soledad, though, that it was not any kind of government mandate toward a particular religion, and they still wanted to take the cross down. While debating an atheist on my own radio show, I asked him what harm the cross was causing a couple of years ago, and as much as he can merely turn away if he doesn't want to look at it. He said to me, the cross might make people think we have a national religion. See my point? Now they want to pass laws based upon what people might think. Add the fact that some have attempted to purchase Mount Soledad so that it could become private property instead of public property, and we're still met with resistance. Finally, I have heard many atheists use as their ultimate reason, I find these symbols offensive. Well, guess what? Free speech offends. Why did the Constitution bother to protect free speech if speech was always going to be benign and not rattle anyone's cage? Okay, I made these points on the radio a couple of weeks ago, all these same points. But then I noticed that this thing was just spiraling and, like I said, taking on a life of its own. So I took those thoughts, I organized them, I wrote an article about it. And to my article in the San Diego Newsroom, I have received a positive comment from an atheist. He left his name anonymous, but I appreciate his comment. Here's what he says. As a non-believer, I support your rational and reasonable argument. While I identify myself as an atheist to others, I make sure and point out that means that I am without religion, not against religion or spirituality. I suspect the anti-religion folks are up in arms due to the theists' regular attempts to influence law and policy to reflect their spiritual views. While I, too, might find that to be a moderate threat to my liberties and freedoms, I think that is a separate issue altogether. I say keep the cross on Mount Soledad and allow all religious scenes on public property during the holiday season. Well, thank you, my friend. I do appreciate your own thoughtful words. I would challenge you about just one thing, though. All laws are based upon somebody's standard of morality. If it wasn't one standard, it would be another. As Christians, we have as much right to vote our conscience as a humanist or an atheist does to vote theirs because we're American citizens. And one of the things about American citizens is we have a right to vote. And we have a right to vote about the way we feel about things. And frankly, issues such as abortion, to pick one example, one that I know concerns atheists a lot, that can actually be agreed upon by Christian and atheists alike. I would not want to pass laws forbidding abortion because I believe the fetus has a soul. I would want to pass such laws because I believe the fetus is a life, period. See, I don't even think it has to be a religious issue. Science backs up the fact that it's a life 100%. Didn't always, but it does now. We do not need to be Christians to protect human life. And of course, atheists all the time talk about their own morality, that Christians don't have a monopoly on morality. And I agree. I agree. Atheists have the same conscience that a Christian has. In fact, look at this one. Who would object to Martin Luther King in the 60s having the March on Washington, even though he did it as the Reverend Martin Luther King, a Baptist minister? He did that movement. He led that movement in the name of Christianity. Would we say the March on Washington was inappropriate because of separation between church and state? I don't think so. The civil rights movement introduced no laws forcing people to become Christians. They did introduce laws forcing people to stop segregation. And no atheist exists in our country. He's going to claim he's for segregation. This next letter is from Darlene in El Cajon. She says, Bob, you have always spoken about protecting every person's right to free speech. I have always respected and appreciated your ability to agree to disagree. And I'm glad to see that you are keeping up the good work. Now, if you could only just convince Christians that not every person has to agree with the opinion of another Christian, even if that person is the leader. And if there happens to be a disagreement, it doesn't mean the dissenting party non-leadership person is no longer a Christian, isn't a backslider, and hasn't lost their salt. Then you will have accomplished a miracle. Yes, Darlene, like all people, Christians often say the stupidest things, and they cause our movement to go backwards 100 years. I'll tell you, though, I find it easier to forgive them when God reminds me of the stupid things I have said. This is Bob Siegel. They say a man's home is his castle. So when it comes to the wiring of your house, you don't want to mess around with some unknown electrician. Instead, do what I did. Call W&S Electric Incorporated. W&S specializes in both contracting and repair. From troubleshooting to remodeling to circuit breakers and fuses, W&S takes a skilled but personal interest in your home at affordable rates. I know the owner, Wayne Klingenhofer, personally, and I can testify firsthand to his integrity. Call 619-447-8785, that's 447-8785, for W&S Electric Incorporated, license number 480-539, W&S Electric.
We now return to the Bob Siegel Show.
Program. So there's been a continuum here. A couple of weeks ago, I was interviewed by the San Diego Union Tribune about an atheist billboard. My comments led to a lot of reaction. Since then, I've reacted to the reaction, and I've written a piece of my own, an op-ed piece for the San Diego Newsroom, which you can read by going online, sandiegonewsroom.com. And now I'm reading comments not only about the original things I said in the original article, but some comments about the article I wrote. So there's two articles. There's the one I'm in. There's the one I wrote. From Ron in San Diego, he says, love the article, Bob. And then he writes Ephesians 6:10, blessings, Ron. Well, Ephesians 6:10 says, finally be strong in the Lord and of his mighty power. Well, thank you for that encouragement, Ron. Al in Lemon Grove said, who'd have thunk it, Bob? John Coleman, weatherman of KUSI and creator of the Weather Channel, is an atheist. Well, atheist though he may be, John Coleman is a sharp guy. He was one of the first to blow the whistle on all this global warming nonsense. Hear that, all you atheists out there? I like you. I respect you. And there are many common causes we can work together on. Some of you need to lighten up, but not all of you. Not all of you. I won't paint you all with a broad stroke. Just please try not to paint Christians with a broad stroke either. This next letter is from Jim Green, who wants his name mentioned. In fact, his was the comment I responded to in my article. So this now is my second letter from Jim Green. He says, Bob, you needn't have withheld my last name. I am not ashamed to be correct. The billboard under discussion is the exact non-theist equivalent of billboards I have seen promoting Christianity. It simply asks people to consider that there may be a way to live a fulfilling life without religion, just as the Christian billboards suggest a better life may be possible with religion. Tit for tat. End of discussion. There is no double standard. There is only equivalence. If Christians can advertise with clear channel outdoors, so can those of other religions or no religion. All other issues are separate. Jim, I wish that were all there was to it, but we both know how much atheists, maybe not you personally, but many atheists protest Christian symbols on public land. I explained already how that is not really unconstitutional, having a symbol on public land. You did not respond to that part in your letter. Jim continues, though. He says, I do have a point to make about separation of church and state, though separate from the billboard question. The best argument I can give a Christian for the government staying completely out of religion and vice versa is the rise of Islam. As things are now, most Christians are very happy to have the government support religion because Christians are in the majority and have it their way. How are you going to feel when the school board of Oakland or Detroit or some other city has a Muslim majority and they start demanding curriculum that supports Islamic beliefs in opposition to Christian beliefs? That's when you'll stand up and yell, what happened to separation of church and state? By then, it may be too late. Support separation of church and state now. Christians can worship as they please in their homes and churches, Jews in their homes and synagogues, Muslims in their homes and synagogues, and non-theists, wherever non-theists do whatever it is they do. Well, Jim, the term separation between church and state is not found in our Constitution. That term was first used in a letter that Thomas Jefferson wrote the Danbury Baptist Association when he was president. He was promising them that the state would not interfere with church life. It was then, years later, quoted out of context by the courts in Everson versus the Board of Education, 1947. The Establishment Clause merely says the following. Here's what our Constitution does say. Congress shall make no law respecting the establishment of a religion or prohibiting its free exercise thereof. That's it. It did not mean I have to keep my religion in the church. It did not mean I'm not allowed to share the gospel. It did not mean I have to keep my religion off the streets. It did not mean I cannot put up a manger scene. It did not even mean we cannot put up a religious shrine in public land. The Ten Commandments can be found in the Supreme Court building, a carving of the Ten Commandments. It's the White House just had its annual tree lighting ceremony, and they called it a Christmas tree. Do you think Obama paid for that out of his own pocket or with tax dollars? Now, about Islam. To answer your question, yes, I would be concerned if those things happen. Actually, I'm already concerned because a lot of what you're talking about is starting to happen. There are schools that are having Muslim curriculum. However, and this is very important, I'm not concerned about Islam because Islam is a religion. I'm concerned about Islam because Islam is a dangerous religion. I know there are peaceful Muslims. I know we don't need to get into that again. But the Muslims who read and understand and obey their command, literally read commands to conquer the world and execute anyone who will not become a Muslim. It's right there in chapter 9 and many other places. No such command is found in the New Testament. Muslims who live in democracies such as England, France, Germany, and Canada are pushing for Sharia law. Sharia law, if it took over the land, would force people to become Muslims and therefore would be a legitimate violation of the Establishment Clause. One cannot use the freedoms of the Constitution for the purpose of overthrowing the Constitution. That is treason. But America has been a predominantly Christian-influenced country for over 200 years. No, not a country where you have to be a Christian, but a country influenced by Christianity. And the forefathers were concerned about what would happen if the day ever came when we were not influenced by Christianity anymore. They didn't think a true republic could survive without something like Christianity. Now, since we've been Christian-influenced for over 200 years, where is the example of anyone getting executed or thrown in jail for refusing to become a Christian? It just doesn't happen, and we've got 200 years to prove it. I do appreciate your letter, Jim. I hope you'll write in again. You're free to call in anytime you want to. Now, this next comment was not mailed to me. It's an article, and I told you that as this thing spiraled, a lot of other articles got written. This is from Dan in a blog called Relatively Unrelated. Now, I'm only reading part of this. I'm a big believer in context, so I'm giving you the name of his website, Relatively Unrelated. I hope you'll look that up. I hope you'll read him in context. And Dan had not read my article at the time of this writing. If he's read it since then, I don't know. I've had no correspondence from him, haven't heard from him. But he read only my brief comments in the San Diego Union, so you need to understand that is what he is responding to and only that. Dan says, the reaction to the billboard, as far as I have seen, not being in San Diego area myself, has not been nearly as negative as it was in some other areas. The response of one person in particular did catch my eye. What caught my eye was the reaction of someone else. The author spoke with Bob Siegel. It seems that Bob is a member of Skyline Church in La Mesa, California. He is a self-described Christian apologist, quote unquote. I found it odd that the author spoke with official representatives of the CNR chapters, yet simply with a member of a nearby church for an opposing view. To be honest, it really isn't even an opposing view. Maybe he couldn't find anyone controversial enough for the story, but I digress. Well, yes, folks, he does digress. The Union Tribune called upon Pastor Jim Garlow of Skyline Church, very controversial pastor, very involved pastor. And Jim Garlow referred them to me because I'm a full-time Christian apologist who debates atheists and who debated one at Jim Garlow's church not too long ago. Dan continues. Bob Siegel told the author that he did not find the billboard offensive. That is a difference from the response in places like Alabama. Bob's other comment is where he makes his big break from reality. And then he quotes me saying, but I do see a double standard from the atheists. They can put up a sign like that during Christmas. If a manger goes on public land, they act like their civil liberties are being taken away. And Dan is really going to take me to task for that comment. You'll hear what Dan has to say when we return to the Bob Siegel Show.
How many times have you heard the phrase, they're all the same, applied to local contractors? It is unfortunate that a few can tarnish the reputations of many, but it sure is nice when you find a contractor with godly principles. But what if they only do floors or only the painting? What if you want to build a whole new home? Or you want someone to fully complete your remodel or tenant improvements? You need ProBuilt. Serving San Diego since 1987, residential and commercial, quality work, completed on time. Local Christian businessman and president of ProBuilt, Jim Bell said, when people pay you to do a job, they simply want you to do the job. They expect quality work and they expect it to be done on time. We do that at ProBuilt. For references and dozens of pictures of both residential and commercial work, visit our website, ProBuildInc.com. That's ProBuildInc.com. Or call our El Cajon office at 619-593-2965. We're fully bonded and insured. California State License Number 567925. ProBuilt.
I'd like to remind all of my listeners that the Bob Siegel Show has a sister program on our sister station, KPRZ 1210 on the dial. Every Sunday morning from 9 o'clock to 9:30, you can hear City Voice, On this provocative program, my good friend George Runyon interviews a different local Christian ministry every week. You can listen to the show while driving to church, and don't be surprised, you may find it so interesting that you'll stay in the parking lot continuing to listen and skipping those Sunday school donuts. That's City Voice with George Runyon, every Sunday morning from 9 o'clock to 9:30 on our sister station, KPRZ 1210. But right now, you're listening to KCBQ 1170. Comments from an atheist named Dan, who on his blog commented on my comments in the San Diego Union. He says, "Wait, what? Does Bob actually think these two things are equivalent? Does he not comprehend the difference between private property and public property? Does he not see the difference between private individuals leasing space on a privately owned billboard and a state or municipality putting up a religious display? People make mistakes. People misunderstand things. I'll give Bob the benefit of the doubt and simply assume that he doesn't understand the difference because it hasn't been properly explained to him. As for the rest of you, your free pass has been canceled. I just pointed it out to you, so you don't have any excuse. Please remember this as the winter holiday season continues." I wonder if Dan knows when he goes out of his way to say holiday instead of Christmas that the word holiday means holy day. I wonder what holy day we're talking about that we all take off this time of year. It's kind of like we're all going to take a holiday, but keep it in your hat. Anyway, truly, Dan, it's nice to meet you, honestly, if only over the internet and on the air. Thank you for that stern parental admonition. I won't say it's patronizing. Instead, since you obviously know so much about me based on a couple of sentences in a newspaper interview, without having met me, without having read any article I've written, I invite you to come on my radio show for a debate. You can call in by phone. We can bring in a moderator and see to it that we each have equal time. We'll be very fair. With your vast knowledge on tax and separation between church and state issues, compared to my apparent ignorance, this debate should be a cakewalk for you. And look how many other people you'll be able to educate. I can be contacted through my website, bobsiegel.net. That's bobsiegel, S-I-E-G-E-L.net. Hope to hear from you soon. And folks, just in case Dan is not listening right now, I sent that exact same invitation as a posted comment on his article. So he got it. He read it. We'll see if he responds. Now, the next is from a guy with the nickname Z Denny, and he's a Christian responding to Dan's article. See how this all spirals and grows and morphs into new things? We have the article, an article about the article, blogs about the article, comments of the blogs about the article. Anyway, this is Z Denny, and he's a Christian responding to what Dan just said. He said, "I personally believe in freedom of speech and religion at all levels. The Constitution does not say that you can exclude religious viewpoints from government. Rather, it says that government cannot make a law excluding religious viewpoints or forcing people to accept one particular view. Your argument that public means that only secular religious values are espoused is a double standard. The government is meant for all people, and the views of government are to be established through elections. However, secularists don't respect the electoral process, which is why they employ judges to make laws and force people to adhere to their imaginary standard. Christians were the ones that gave us freedom of speech and religion. Morality is to be determined through elections. However, everyone has the freedom to talk about and believe what they want to convince others. Actions in community are supposed to be determined by elections. Representation, meaning freedom of religion or speech, does not mean that someone is being forced to accept anything. This is the mistake made by secularists. I wish more atheists would simply respect the Constitution." And now a guy named Chaos Agent responds to what Denny says. Now, I like that name, Chaos Agent, because I've always been a fan of the old sitcom Get Smart. And I assume that's what he's talking about. It was chaos versus control. So I love the name Chaos. That's about the only thing about his comment that I do love. Now, I have to be very careful. It's going to be like tiptoeing through a landmine to read this because he used a lot of, shall we say, colorful metaphors. And I'd love to just read them so you can get the impact of what he says. Unfortunately, that decision is out of my hand. There are FCC regulations. At least one of these words I know we're not allowed to do on the air. The other I'm not sure about. So I will err on the side of caution. So here is Chaos Agent as he's responding to Denny. He says, please, the U.S. government is secular. Get off your A and read some actual history, dumb A. This is not about oppressing religious viewpoints. This is about all that effing whining you Christards do. I see. Oh, that was clever. Instead of calling us retards, he's calling us Christards. Oh, good one, Chaos. Oh, my sides. Anyway, he continues. It's about all the effing whining you Christards do every time someone with an opposing viewpoint opens their mouth, no matter how innocuous it is. Well, Chaos, I don't whine. The whole statement which started this controversy came from a person who started by saying the sign was not offensive to him. That was me, Chaos. Free speech never offends me. Were you paying attention to that part? Or are you yourself busy whining? I got to say, your letter is not exactly the calmest, friendliest tone I've ever heard. But Chaos continues. People have to look at billboards that are plastered with all kinds of advertisements. None of this has anything to do with the government. People, well, you can just tell that the guy didn't hear a word that anybody said on this. Anyway, he said, people pay money to private individuals to put up ads. I see church ads all the time on billboards in the town where I live. Do you hear me, I'll say twitching instead of the word with a B that he actually said? You hear me twitching and moaning about that? And then he uses the S word that ends with a T. Boy, it's hard to read this. F no. They paid their money. So shut the F up. If a bunch of heathens want a billboard espousing an opposing viewpoint, isn't it always you zombie, GB sky fairy sheeple that want both sides taught? Or does that only pertain to you trying to indoctrinate everyone else's children in the school system by trying to inject religious brainwashing psychobabble into the science classroom? Whoa, Chaos, buddy. Okay, all Christians have asked for in the public classroom is for people to hear both sides. That is all mainstream evangelical Christians. If a teacher today wanted to talk about intelligent design, they'd be fired so fast you wouldn't be able to catch your breath. You know that. I know that. Everybody knows that. I thought atheism was about free thought. I thought you guys had all the higher ground. You're the ones who can handle debates. We are not the ones suppressing free speech in the public schools, Chaos. Make no mistake about that. Now, this is from a blog called the San Diego Housing Bubble News and Analysis, or a website called that. He says, I don't see a double standard. If Mr. Siegel wants to fork over $6,200 to put a manger on a billboard, no one is going to care. I wasn't talking about putting a manger on a billboard. And boy, is that what those things cost? I can think of about a million things I'd rather do with $6,200 than put up a billboard about Jesus or anybody. Anyway, he says, conversely, if the atheist billboard was placed on public land for free, most people would take issue. Anyways, I was struck that an organization probably not well-funded would pay this kind of money for advertisement given the state of our economy. Well, I'll respond to this comment when we return. Good projects don't just happen. Good projects are a result of a team of dedicated professionals, owners, architects, and contractors striving toward a common goal. Make OMP a part of your team. If you're looking for professional, knowledgeable experience for your construction project team, Oso Miller Pacific should be your first call. For over 20 years, Mark Miller has been providing project management and constructive services throughout San Diego and Southern California. As president of Oso Miller Pacific, Mark continues this tradition of providing the most professional services in the industry to the healthcare, commercial, and government construction markets. Oso Miller Pacific provides a full range of pre-construction services, including definition of needs, design team selection, concept budget generation, and construction services. This full range of services is what sets Oso Miller Pacific apart from its competition. Visit their website at osomillerpacific.com. That's www.osomillerpacific.com or call the offices at 619-449-0633. Again, the number is 619-449-0633. 0633. Good projects don't just happen. Call Oso Miller Pacific. This is Bob Siegel inviting you to tune in for the Rick Amato Show four nights a week here on 1170 KCBQ. Rick stays on top of the issues local and national. He also does some of the most stimulating interviews you've ever heard. That's the Rick Amato Show, Monday through Thursdays from 9 p.m. to 11 p.m. here on Intelligent Talk 1170 KCBQ. You can also find Rick on AmatoTalk.com.
We now return to the Bob Siegel Show.
Welcome back to our program. Well, you've heard comment after comment from atheists. We heard from an atheist who liked what I said, said it sounded rational. We heard from others that keep on lecturing us about the fact that you can't compare apples with oranges. There's a difference between a manger and public property and a billboard that's paid for. I think everybody understands the difference between public and private property. But again, as I have demonstrated today, as I demonstrated a few weeks ago, as this issue keeps coming up, this matter goes beyond funding and tax dollars. There's another agenda here with many people. On my own program a few years ago, I interviewed prominent atheist Brian Fleming. He said Christians should not be allowed to teach intelligent design because it pollutes our national dialogue. He thought Christians were too stupid to even be allowed to dialogue. See, our tax dollars can be used, tax dollars that we Christians pay, they can be used to fund the teaching of evolution or the teaching of other secular ideas. But an alternative view held by many prominent scientists, that's not allowed in the classroom. And folks, intelligent design people are not even requesting to open the Bible or read the Bible or even say one word about Christianity. They've just looked at nature, and through science, they've raised the question that when we look at certain things, if we look at human body, when we look at animals, when we look at plants, when we look at the solar system, there may be evidence of some kind of intelligent designer. Has nothing to do with any particular religion. Be that as it may, there was a time when the Bible was taught in every school when Thomas Jefferson and John Adams were alive. I guess they didn't feel it violated the Establishment Clause. I guess they would know. They and our other framers were the ones who wrote the Establishment Clause. Next letter is from Ron, and we read an earlier comment of his about another issue, but now he's commenting on the billboard thing. And Ron says, here are two solutions to our political problems. Interesting impact you are having. I think the most interesting point is that we don't always agree with what our government is spending our tax money on. Plays into the idea of 50% majority dictatorship. If you carry that idea to the extreme, then 50% plurality can be determined how 100% of the funds and activity are directed. 50% plurality determining how 100% of the funds our director. That's a very interesting point, Ron. Ron says that's a good reason that all spending should be determined by a supermajority, two-thirds or even three-fourths. He says, I don't envy you. You may have gotten yourself into a black hole of discussion. Hope you find your way out. Well, right now I'm enjoying it. I don't do these debates over the internet because they never stop. No matter what you write, somebody writes something else, and I just as soon use that time to write new magazine articles and new blogs and prepare the radio show. But right now I'm enjoying it. And I'll continue to respond to this controversy for a while. Okay, let us switch gears and return to the discussion we began last week. Can one accept Jesus as Savior without making a decision to obey Jesus? I think Christians do a grave disservice, not all Christians, many Christians, when they share the gospel, because we tend to stress the consequence of our decisions and not the reason for our decisions. Let me give you an example. Christian says to somebody, maybe an atheist, maybe somebody of another religion, just somebody who's not a Christian, they say, God loves you, you should give your life to Jesus Christ. A person says, why? Usually the first answer the Christian gives, and I love my Christian brothers and I respect them, but with all due respect, usually the first answer they give is, well, if you serve God, you'll be happy. You'll be happier. Well, I don't know about you. I know a lot of people who are not Christians, and they're very happy. And I know a lot of people who are Christians, and they're miserable. Miserable. So that's not always the best answer. So sometimes the person says, well, you know, that's very nice of God that he wants me to be happy, but I'm already happy. Well, then the Christian goes, oh, well, you think you're happy. But there are deep reservoirs of joy untapped by the Holy Spirit that you could experience. You're not as happy as you think. And then the person could say, well, that's very nice of God to offer that. But whatever level of happiness I've obtained, I'm satisfied with it. So thank you, God, for creating me. Thank you for wanting to make me even more happy. But God, you go your way, and I'll go mine. At this point, the Christian switches to plan B. Oh, well, then let me say, if you don't accept Christ, you're going to go to hell, and you're not going to go to heaven when you die. That's a horrible picture of God. They've reduced God to a game show host. You lost salvation, but we still have lovely luggage for you. You see, the problem is we're stressing consequences. Now, it is true that somebody who gives their life to Christ and establishes a relationship with God is going to find a kind of spiritual happiness they did not have before. It's also true that there will be a day of judgment, and there will be people that enter God's kingdom, and there will be people who will spend an eternity separated from God, which is what the Bible calls hell. But those are the consequences of our decision. The consequence of our decision is not the reason we call people to make the decision. The reason we serve Jesus is not because we're going to go to hell if we don't. The reason we serve Jesus is not because we're going to be happy if we do. The reason we serve Jesus is that is the right thing to do, period. We all have a problem with our selfish nature. And turning our life to Jesus, according to the Bible, if you believe the Bible, turning our life to Jesus and having a relationship with His Spirit is the only way to overcome our sin nature and the only way to be forgiven of our sins. And let me give you an example. If somebody said to you, should I go out in the street and shoot somebody? You'd say no. And if he said, why not? What would you do? You'd say, well, because if you shoot somebody, we're going to put you in jail. And if you murder them, we may even give you the gas chamber. No, I don't think that's what you'd say. You're talking about the consequences of decision, not the reason. I think what you'd say is the reason you don't shoot a person is that's horrible. That's murder. That's evil. How could you do such a thing? Now, if you don't care about being evil, if you don't mind being a murderer, if you're not going to pay attention to your conscience, then there is going to be a consequence. If you do that, yeah, we will throw you in jail. But jail is the consequence of the decision. Jail is not the reason for the decision. That's so important. What we have today are, on one hand, we have preachers that are bribing people into the kingdom. On the other hand, we have preachers that are threatening them. First, the bribe. C stands for a cure to all your pain. H stands for help whenever you need it. R stands for relief in times of stress. I stands for individual favors which you will receive. S stands for the seltzer that will calm your upset life. T stands for the tension that will soon disappear. Put it all together, and what does it spell? Well, like I said, it spells bribery. And if the happy-go-lucky evangelist doesn't work, then we have the Godfather evangelist who makes you an offer you can't refuse. He's kind of gloomy. He gets up at the podium. He slams his fist down. He has a cold stare of death. He looks the congregation in the eye, and he says, some of you are going to die real soon without the slightest warning. We had a person just last week, member of our church, ran his car into a pole. He's dead. And then for effect, he slams his fist. And that person didn't accept Christ as Savior either. You know where he is right now? He's in hell. Hell ain't no comfortable place, my friend. Brother, have you ever been sunburned? I mean, a good second-degree burn? That's just a taste of what it's going to be like in hell. And your hair is burning and your eyes are burning. You want to be in hell? No, I don't want to be in hell. All right, then repent. See, we're threatening them. Instead of saying, are you bothered by your sin? I remember one time I was sharing out at Arizona State University. A guy says to me, what am I going to get out of it if I become a Christian? I said, maybe nothing. I'm not here to offer you lollipops. I'm not here to bribe you into the kingdom. What are you going to get out of it? You're going to get an opportunity to overcome your sin and be forgiven of your sin. He says, I don't care about that. I said, well, if you don't care about that today, maybe you'll care about that tomorrow. I don't want to shove it down your throat. God's not losing any sleep over it. I won't either. If you ever care about overcoming your sin, then we'll talk. I don't want to make you do something you don't want to do. Jesus said, blessed are they who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be satisfied. Not blessed are those who hunger and thirst to avoid hell and go to heaven. I'll see you next week.
Thank you for listening to The Bob Siegel Show. The views and opinions are solely those of the host and guests and do not necessarily represent KCBQ or its sponsors. The Bob Siegel Show was brought to you in part by the Law Office of Thomas Pinkerton, helping infertile families have children. Tom Pinkerton would like to invite you to help Bob expand his radio program by donations or sponsorship. For more information about Bob's ministry, go to www.bobsiegel.net. Here, you can read Bob's articles and get information about Bob's books. That's Bob Siegel, SIEGEL.net.